Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Peggy, let's hit him big time.
Because it's Friday, you ain't got no job, and you ain't got shit to do.
Houston, let's get in the loop.
You better get ready because we're going to show up and show up.
With John Lopez and Reggie Atitula. Always live.
Love it. Love it.
Always local.
Don't ever underestimate the heart of a champion.
You're in the loop on Houston Sports Leader, Sports Radio 610.
Yeah. Happy Football Friday to y'all. You're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610 with John Lopez, Figgy Fig, myself, Reginald Atitula. Let's get ready. Let's get down for Texans versus the Lions. Sunday Night Football at NRG Stadium. Somebody asked on the 5-Hour Energy fan line, will the roof be open for Sunday Night Football?
That's a good question. I doubt it.
I doubt it, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it feels like it would be the right, like, temperature.
Right temperature, right environment, right type of game.
Can we be honest?
Doesn't happen.
I think they had it open last time because of that hole in the roof.
Oh, yeah.
I think that was the only reason they had it open.
Mm-hmm.
I don't see them open unless they do it last minute or something.
And it's so weird because this started during the Gary Kubiak era. So way back, because he was just hell-bent on, no, I want perfect conditions. You know, like, as an offensive coordinator might say.
100%.
You know, and then it just never changed. Through Bill O'Brien, through Cully, through Lovey, through, current, it just doesn't change. I don't get it.
I mean, yeah. You seem to get it a little bit, the idea of perfect conditions, but
but
it's like you got the opportunity to open up.
Exactly.
Why not?
Why have it then?
Yeah. Just to be able to say you do.
I guess.
There's a lot of people that have stuff just to be able to say that they have it. All right. With a lot of conversation that's happened. A lot has happened about this offensive line, and it's because they just have not lived up to the standard by any stretch.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's gotten to a fever pitch, and you know that because Chris Strasser, the offensive line coach, whose name you know not for no good reasons, actually spoke to the media. And I kind of wanted to figure if we felt like we had any confidence instilled within us from listening to him. And so let's go through this. Let's have a little process. And we begin by hearing Chris Strasser and what he talks about with Kenyon Green.
Kenyon's done great. I mean, really, honestly, like, if we're looking at the big picture of where Kenyon was when I got here and the type of offseason he had, the type of training camp that he had, came out week one against the Colts, really playing on fire, did really well in the run game, didn't have the same pass protection opportunities that week one that maybe we did as the season went on. By no means is it one guy. That, to me, that's an easy out in our unit. We know there's a lot of guys involved. And, Kenyon, I really think of this really being his rookie season, right? That first year he was here, played some, got hurt. Last year he didn't play at all. This year, coming back off an injury and really getting back into the mix. And so I think he went through some, also this is his first time in our offense here, right? So he went through some, typical rookie struggles, but by no means is Kenyon the only guy.
Okay, so as I heard that, I did a complete eye roll, but he's done great. That's the first words out of your mouth.
And this is like his rookie year.
Like his rookie year? No, it's not. It's really not. You're treating him different than you would other players, you know.
I don't know. The way that we've seen things kind of discussed about this team, this is how they treat most of the players.
Well, that's fair.
Right?
But especially to say that about him. So let me just say, as I heard him more, I became a little more... there was a little more clarity on what exactly was going on here, because, you know, if we're talking about he's great, he did this so well, it's really like his rookie year, that's an eye roll. I mean, by any standard, that's an eye roll.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to argue with you on that. Like, I do understand the idea of, hey, he has not had a lot of reps, and I do wonder if you get to a place where he is he's a first-round pick, and thus, hey, well, he hasn't had all that much time for a first-round pick. Yeah, you give him time to go, but like a first-round pick, you anticipate being a factor pretty quickly.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's why you take them the first round, that they have a level of preparedness in addition to the traits and tools to be able to do this early on. And even if this was a rookie first-round pick, you would still be disappointed with what it looks like.
Right.
But I kind of want to juxtapose this kind of compare this to how he talks about Juice, because you said you wouldn't talk about this any other player like this.
Mm-hmm.
This is him talking about Juice Scruggs.
There's always going to be extra responsibility on the center, whether it's pass, run, whatever it is. And again, I think of this at center a little bit for Juice as his rookie year. He missed most of last year, 2/3 of it, and then came in and played guard. And so this is still some newness to him with it, but by no means does it fall on him. I mean, he's really has done a good job, and he's progressed each week.
Yeah, and so here we go. You know, it sounds like excuse making, right? It sounds like we're just ramping up. You know, it's going to get better. It's not the players. It's kind of, you know, the process and us, etc. And so when I heard those two, I'm like, come on, man. Like, seriously.
If I ever have a bad day, I'm going to just say, you know, this is my rookie year.
Yeah.
We're still early on in this,
hey,
man.
We're still early on, man.
This is really like my first year in radio. Because it's the first time I've really worked with Reggie.
Mm, you know, it's not wrong. No,
but it's very wrong.
I think with Juice, I think you can get to a place where you understand a little bit more with Juice. And I don't think he's wrong in saying that Juice has gotten better when it comes to some of these things. But this is the MO, not just for Strasser and the offensive line. This is how they talk about it. You mentioned it. I don't know if any people heard it really, Fig. You said Petrie. Say a similar kind of the way that they've talked about.
Yeah, Petrie. I give Mechie a little pass because he's going through a little something, but you still kind of get that this year. Like, oh, he's still getting back and all this other stuff. It's like, man, when do we let the leash off of him?
Exactly. When do we treat them like professional football players? And you said it. You know, you said it, Reggie. Like, if this was a number 15 overall pick, which it is in terms of Kenyon Green. You know, you have expectations no matter, you know, if there actually are a rookie and in a new offense, you have certain expectations.
Yeah, but and look, he spoke more to like just how they want to protect quarterback and all these things. Like, they understand this is perfect, which, I mean, you have to say that because if you don't, we will lambast you for not acknowledging that, right? I understand how this works. However, this is Strasser getting to maybe the heart of the issue, right? He was asked specifically about the idea of the issues with stunts, because those are the ones that have really made you look foolish, right? What's happened with the issues on stunts, Chris?
Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated. Where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Strasser.
Stunts are always a challenge. I mean, there's a reason that defenses do stunt on third down, because there's some challenges with it. So to me, it all goes back to starting with just like being really good at one-on-one pass protection, because you get that done. And then the next phase is to be able to handle a stunt. And a lot of what goes into handling a stunt is the same stuff that goes into being a really good one-on-one protector. So, you know, there's a lot of little things that we know that as we really studied, we had that extra 3 days to really kind of go back and look at some stuff and really see some stuff that consistently has shown up as issues and stuff. Again, like I said, that I need to go back and do a better job as a coach to get these guys locked into better and find a way to drill it better and make sure when we show up on Sunday that everybody's got complete confidence in what we're doing.
All right, so this is where I had my aha moment. I'm like, Ooh. Oh, I get what's going on now.
Aha!
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 Yeah, I pointed like that and shook my finger, Figgy.
Aha!
Aha! This clearly is just the messaging that the organization is putting out there from the top down. It don't throw any players under the bus individually. Talk about technique. Talk about learning and still getting better and all this other stuff. But the reason is, I think they make themselves kind of look bad, but they're protecting their players. I think they know that they're going to have to make some changes. They know, but they still have a chance this year, you know, if things can turn around. So I think this is not so much. I don't know how much he believes any of it. Let me put it that way. I don't know how much he really believes. I mean, seriously, this guy has coached for 20 something, almost 30 years as an offensive line coach. He's coached, with the Colts. He's coached, you know, obviously here. I think he's had 5 jobs in the last 11 years. Take that however you will.
Yeah, but are we trying to pump him up here?
It could be taken any way you want. But what I'm saying is he's been around.
Yeah.
I find it hard to believe. He's like, he's really a rookie. Come on. I think this is just messaging. It's like, we still have a shot. Let's not throw anybody under the bus. Let's try to rally these guys and get better.
It does make me wonder, though, like what the conversation is on the other side. Because I think it is. It is in line and it is congruent with kind of the messaging that we've seen all the way up. Mm-hmm. D'Amico Ryans as well.
And Nick.
It's one of those things that we know and we believe about D'Amico Ryans that in the public and when he's talking to the likes of us, that he's not going to kind of get on these players. But we also know conversations with Azeez Al-Shaair, conversations with other players that are familiar with D'Amico's get down. They'll let you know that he coaches them hard, right? Like he goes and gets after him. I'm interested to see what it looks like for Chris Strasser because he's here telling us that, you know, hey, man, stunts, it's the same as just blocking them up straight up. So if you can block them up straight up, then you can pick up stunts. And it's like, well, that all sounds like stuff. I mean, we're week 10, man.
Exactly.
Like, I understand you had the opportunity for kind of a self-scout, but you also had an opportunity for self-scout after 4 weeks when it was kind of not all the way in the right place. And, you know, with the extra 3 days, we looked at it and, you know, I can drill down on him. Like, how have we not gotten to this place earlier with the amount of, I mean, CJ Stroud has been sacked over 30 times.
Yeah, exactly. So how are you saying, you know, consistently from Nick to D'Amico to Slowick and now Strasser, which, by the way, good job, Texans, getting Strasser available. You know, That was very good. A lot of teams wouldn't have done that. But throughout those four guys who are at the, you know, at the top of the organization, they all say variations of the same thing. That's on me. It's technique. We have to teach it better in practice so they can understand what we're wanting for. They're putting it on themselves, but I just find it impossible to believe. Like, not even skeptic, just impossible to believe that they don't know that the issue is, because it's not just Kenyon Green, is these players are not doing it. And maybe that's going to change, but it's too early for them to maybe, you know, start talking in that way.
So, I mean, did this inspire any confidence that these things get fixed, though? Because I understand, right? Like, there are certain things you kind of just have to say in these circumstances. But with what is said, right, what we can work off of, did anything strike you as, okay, this feels like it's actionable to the point where we can believe that there will be shifts that make this go better?
You said it. It's week 10. It's week 10, man. I mean, you know, short answer, no. But more precisely, and this is kind of the positive part of it all, the worst part of the offensive line is not going to be playing on Sunday. And that's Kenyon Green. Maybe there's just a marginal improvement. A marginal improvement will go a long way.
I think so.
You know?
I think it would. I mean, when it comes to, like, pass block win rates, which, you know, that is, ESPN stat, just kind of just generally, as the name says, like, give you the rating or the amount of times that you win in pass blocking. On this team, the tackles rank 12th. The interior with guards and centers, 31st.
Mm-hmm.
Like, a lot of pressure. A lot of times we were losing on the interior, and that's not helping your quarterback out. And not to say that it was all on Kenyon Green. Yeah. He carried a lot of it. Shaq Mason holds a lot of this as well. Don't get me wrong.
Absolutely.
Right? Juice Scruggs holds a little bit of it himself as well. But I think with Kenyon Green, there was a lot of instantaneous losses, those types of things. If Juice Patterson, or Juice, not Juice, Jared Patterson can step in and just kind of.
Just marginal.
Stem
Baby
the tide.
Steps.
If you can get yourself to a place where in pass blocking, you are, I mean, even close to average in that kind of play. You can give yourself an opportunity for you for this team to see C.J. Stroud, the extravagant, the incredible player, showing up again. Because at this point, it has been so poor that you've seen a really good player in C.J. Stroud look pedestrian.
Yeah, and frankly, I do kind of feel for Chris Strosser, too. As much as I said early on, it was eye roll, and second, and then later, I was like, ah, I know what they're doing. I do feel bad for him because he's going to be the dude that probably catches the brunt of it.
Absolutely.
I mean, you know, obviously Nick and D'Amico, no way. Slowick, probably not. It's going to kind of fall on him.
Yeah. And from the 979, I thought they knew they needed to make changes last week, yet they made none. The only reason they did was because Kenyon Green got hurt. So to say that they know that they need to make changes, I don't think so. And that's a fair point, right? Mm-hmm. Like they've not made changes on that line unless they've been absolutely forced to. It's going to be incumbent on these guys to find the right technique.
Yeah.
Chris Strosser to teach the right technique and for them to actually go out and do it. Your only hope is that Jarrett Patterson comes in and just ultimately gives you a better baseline of play than you previously had at Kenyon Green, and that the rest of the guys are somehow buoyed and bolstered by the idea of not having that or lesser play at left guard.
Yeah.
I don't know how much you can hope on that, but that is the hope that seems to exist for this offensive line to be better against the Lions on Sunday Night Football. All right, you're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, C.J. Stroud yesterday was talking about how, or 2 days ago at this point, was talking about how he just needs to remember to have fun. How do you have fun at work? 713-572-4610. We'll discuss it next.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.